Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. Trust in me, Lord. Thank you. word says.
Believe for it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's C.C. Riley. Believe for it. Got to believe for it.
Yeah.
God expects you to believe
Amen.
For it. He don't want you to have it no other way. He wants you to believe for it. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're going to have a word of prayer, as Pastor Bailey should give us a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Thank you, Pastor, for that song. Yeah. He said it, and we believe it. Amen. That's why we stand on his word. Amen,
yeah.
Amen. The scripture I'd like to open up with is coming from Psalms 91, verses 1 through 3, and then also verse 11. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." And verse 11 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Amen. Heavenly
Amen.
Father, we come before you today, thanking you, Father God, for another day. Thanking you for another opportunity that we can study the word together, that Pastor will be able to teach the word, being led by the Holy Spirit, Father God. And then, Lord, help us to receive this word. Lord, we ask that you will bless those who have called in today and those who are listening by internet, Father God, and be with those who will participate, Father God. Lord, we just thanking you for your word, because we know, Father God, that the word helps us to grow. And then as we grow, we can share this word with others. So, Father God, bless each and every one. Holy Ghost, use our pastor mightily as he teaches this word. And then we bind up anything and everything to try to come up against the word of God, pleading the blood of Jesus over the broadcast, over our pastor, over the listeners, Father God. And we just thanking you, Lord, even those that participate, Lord. So, Father God, be with those who've asked us to keep them listed in prayer. We're so thankful for the praise report, Father God, because we know prayer works, Father God. Be with those who are bereaved, Father God. Give them a peace of mind, Lord. Be with those that are going through, Lord. Bless them too, Father God, and may they know that you are working things out for them, especially those who believe, Father God. So, Lord, help us to learn this word, meditate on this word, that we're able to share this word with others, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, listen, brothers, thank you so much, Pastor, that prayer.
That's right.
Well, for some reason or another, the Spirit won't let me leave Psalms 91 alone. I wanted to talk about the checklist, because we need to have a checklist. We all need to have one.
Amen.
And you need to be able to believe it in your heart. Then you have to say it with your mouth. Part of that checklist. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. That has to be on your checklist. Abraham's blessing cannot be received with Thomas' faith. He had faith, but he had Thomas' faith. And a lot of people didn't know he had faith, but he did have faith. It wasn't that he didn't have none. He had the wrong kind of faith. Like a lot of people got the wrong kind of faith. They put faith in what they can see. Yeah, most people, they want to have faith for a car, a home. What about your eternal life? How about that one, huh? How about that one?
I'm on.
But they just want to put faith in what they can see. Faith calls those things to be not as though they were. And faith, let me tell you what, faith demands a corresponding action. And, but it was, I want to, but the Spirit is telling me to go back to Psalms 91. And then after Pastor read it, the scripture, I really got to go there now. Because, and let me begin by saying, in Psalms 91, there's several things that I'm gonna highlight. But the very first thing it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place. And in one scripture says, whosoever live under the shadow. So when he says he, it's not necessarily mean just a man. Whoever lives, who dwells in this secret place or dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And I just wanted to touch the, I wanted to point that out. Also, I want Pastor to read Hebrews 1 and 14. She can find that. There's a lot of scriptures, and I don't know if we'll get into all of them, but let me say this. One of the functions of angels was to watch over believers. And the more I got into that, the more I began to see some stuff, boy, I had never seen before. So, and we're going to get into that. Also, we're going to get in a little bit into, really, this is a promise. There's things here in Psalms 91 that just promises of God. And God is not a man that he can lie. So God promised, first of all, to protect in the midst of danger. God doesn't promise a world free from danger, but he does promise his help whenever we face danger. And that's what I see in this. That's exactly what I see in this whole. So we're not going to do it all today. I'm just being led by the Spirit. It says, he who dwell in the shelter of the Most High. guess what? He'll have rest. Can you imagine? You getting God, we were talking yesterday a little bit. See, when you're in a shelter, and I know I can get some amens on this one, but we need sometimes talk about the shelter. If you ever been in a shelter, visit a shelter. When you're in a shelter, there's a lot of things that goes on and benefits, let me say that as well. But the writer says here that you're going to be protected.
Yeah.
See, if you're in a shelter, you ain't got to worry about the food, the gas, water. You ain't got to worry about nothing. Think about that.
Amen.
When you're in God's shelter, you ain't got to worry about paying your bills. He's going to take care. So
thank
when I read
God.
This Psalms now, man, I just see a whole different light. And I wanted to share a little bit of it with you guys. And so if we don't get to the other things, there's some points I want to make about Psalms 91. God is a shelter, has a shelter. It's a refuge when we are afraid. And we're living in a time now where fear is everywhere. And you need to know you don't have to worry. Faith in the Almighty. God has protected you. We carry him through the dangers and the fears of life. So many people fearful about everything. Let me tell you what, that old creep, that old devil, he wants us to walk around in fear. Brother and sister, when you're walking in fear, you can't walk in faith. Woo! Let me shout myself up by the head. When you're walking in fear, you can't walk in faith. You can't walk in both of them.
Right.
You're going to either walk in one or the other. And if you're in fear, God can't, he don't have no use for you. See, perfect love casts out all fear. And I know you know that. I know you know that. So when you got that perfect love in you, fear has to go. But you don't have to worry about that devil. See, when you start dissecting this thing, you'll see there is and just for the record, let me go back and read 1 through 6. Pastor, if you will, read Psalms 91, 1 through 6, because I want everybody to hear this. Read that the King James Version, if you'd be so kind to.
Okay, Pastor. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 6, from the King James. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Amen.
And the reason I want that to soak in, brothers and sisters, because we have to understand a few things about Psalms 91. God is a shelter. He is a refuge. So when we are afraid, God, know that God is going to protect us no matter what it is. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they was afraid of what's going to happen. You don't have to be afraid. If you're abiding in God's secret place. Now, for us, let me tell you what God's secret place, and we may get into it a little deeper. I don't know. I'm just being led. But over there in Colossians, he says 3, I think it's about the third chapter. If you then be risen, if you be risen. You know what? I think I better find that because that just hit my spirit. That wasn't part of this, but the Lord told me to go there. So I'm going to go there for you.
Mm-hmm.
In Colossians, the third chapter, the first verse says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's a secret place for us. Fix your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. That's where the church is getting it wrong. They put all their affection on things on the earth. They're only going by the optical nerve and not by the spirit. He said, you got to remember, you're dead. You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. That's God's secret place, man. It's Christ. So when Christ, who is our life, see, that's our life because we hid in him, we shall appear, then shall also appear with him in glory. Yeah. I just thought that was awesome to know that the secret place for us is to be in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You got to be in Christ, okay? So I want you to see this picture here because this should be a picture of our trust for God. When you read Psalms 91, know that God is going to, God trusts in you. You can put your Uzi up. You can put your K, you can put the 9mm up. You can put your, know that God's going to protect you.
Yeah.
You ain't got to worry about calling a lawyer. God got you. Because see, the devil, he want us to be afraid. I'm telling somebody, I said, don't worry about no storm. Go speak to it. Rebuke that storm. No, that God does his work. See that old crazy talk. God don't cause a storm, brothers and sisters. It take me a long time to teach them this. But he doesn't. That's Satan. He the one, but you can rebuke him. Just like Jesus rebuked the wind. And told to see, you have that same mindset, or you should have it. Because, you know, the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. So if Christ rebuked the wind, why you won't rebuke it? You're not against God because you rebuked that. Tornado's coming down your way. You done heard it. Start rebuking that thing. Tell it to go anywhere but your house. Woo! Preach.
All right.
You see all this stuff happening to other people's children, you rebuke them and say, it ain't happening to mine. It ain't happening to my children,
Hallelujah.
My grandchildren. I don't care about what's going on with my neighbor. It ain't happening here. And you rebuke that thing, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Shouldn't come near you.
Amen.
That's what Psalm's saying. It won't come near you. Care about no pestilence. Man, I want y'all to look at this spiritually. He said, I'll say to the Lord, you're my refuge, you're my fortress, you're my God, and in him will I trust. So I'm trusting you, Lord. Surely he'll deliver thee from the snares of the world. That's the devil. You look up the word follow. Now, I'm going to tell you, like I said, it take me a long time to teach you, but you go over there and you'll see that God gave this parable over here in Mark. And he talked about the fowls of the air, the fowlers, and how that the seed was planted, and they came and took the seed up. And guess what you're going to find out? It was the devil. Yeah, the sower sowed the seed. You know what took the seed up? That was the devil. The fowls of the air. That was those spirits, man, evil spirits. And he said, from the northern pestilence. See, let me slow down. I want you all to understand. This stuff Satan tried to put on us. You got to know God's going to rescue you. from all her harm and danger. But if he starts making a lot of noise and you get fearful, see, these just like plagues, for instance. They're coming down on us. But God expects for us to speak that word. He expects for us to tell Satan to go back to the pits of hell. Anywhere, but he has to go somewhere else. He just can't go where you're at. Because God done made you these promises in Psalms 91.
Thank you, Lord.
But let me tell you this. We should really see this picture that we're trusting God. Let me tell you, you got to treat all your fears, all of them. You got to treat them with faith. That's what the antidote for fear is faith. And I just learned that. That's faith in him. So when faith, fear comes, you grab a scripture. Remember what David said? I walk through the valleys and shadows of death. I ain't fearing no evil. Not me.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, you can say that you ain't going. Well, maybe I ain't going through with what you're going through. I'll give you that. But let us agree to do this. Let's start doing a preventive preventive measure. Let's start calling those things to be not as though they were. Let's start putting up walls of protection around us right now. Let's put a perimeter around us right now. Let's put some boundaries around us and say, Satan, you can't have my children. Can we agree on that?
Hallelujah.
You can't touch my vehicle. Can we agree on that?
Hallelujah.
I'm not afraid of the error by night, nor the arrows that fit us by day. You know, I ain't afraid of none of this stuff. You know why? Because God protecting us.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Even though I may walking in darkness and walking in destruction and all that, I get off. But, hey, I ain't worried about none of it. Because I know where I am.
Amen.
I'm under his wings.
Yes, amen.
And
then,
when you're there, you're going to find rest, brothers and sisters. That's where faith comes in, having faith in him. No matter how intense our fears get, do this. To dwell is to live in, to set up residence. So you're going in the Word of God for everything. Every situation, you're going to the Word of God. And you're going to speak to Satan with authority. Because Jesus Christ has given you the authority to use his name. Yeah. See, his name works for a lot of stuff. But let me tell you what, that's one of your weapons. You want to use that to cut Satan up. That's what you want to do with it. You're entrusting in him. You're entrusting in the things of God. Because you know his protection is there for you. It's daily. It's a daily. Let me tell you, God keep us safe daily. God told me to, I do some stuff they don't even know about me yet. I'm doing stuff in their life they don't even know yet. And the more I see that, the more it become a reality. Let me tell you what, one other function of angels, because I wanted to touch on this stuff, but it's just so much. In Hebrews 1 and 14, Pastor, read that for me, please. Hebrews 1 and 14, if you'd be so kind.
Okay. Here. Hebrews 1 and 14 from the King James. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Amen.
Did y'all hear that?
Amen.
Why do we have these spirits, you ask? Why do we have angels? Now, I pray I'm reading this correctly.
The minister.
The way mm-hmm. we have them, according to this 14th verse, find this thing here.
Yeah.
And they not all ministering spirit sent forth to
yeah.
minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Aren't you an heir of the salvation? And that's what we are.
Yeah.
The Bible said we're joint heirs.
Amen.
Not only are we heirs,
yeah.
but we're joint heirs with Christ. The 13th verse
mm-hmm.
says, but to which of the angels, he said, at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemy thy footstool. See, he got angels who were sent to do their job. Their job is not to sit on God's right hand or at his side. Their jobs are to go and minister to all of those
mm-hmm.
that are heirs of salvation, the saints.
Yeah.
That's who we are. That's what we are.
Yeah.
So when I read this,
amen.
I give you a whole lot of scriptures, but trust me, I got all kind of receipts. There are examples of guardian angels, for instance, all through the scripture. 1 Kings 19:5, Daniel 6:22, Matthew 18:10, Luke 16:22, Acts 12:7. There's a lot of paper here. Although there is no indication that one angel is assigned to each believer, angels can be also, got to remember this now, that God's messenger. You know, when
yeah.
God sends angel
yeah.
with a message.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? When
yeah.
he comes, that person understands. That person, he speaks to them so they do understand. And I can
amen.
Take you to Matthew's show. God didn't have to, he was direct. He didn't go indirect. He went direct. When the angels got something to tell you, they will be direct. But here's the first thing the angel going to say. It either going to say peace or hell. Because you will be
mm-hmm.
totally afraid. Trust me. So the
yeah.
angel lets you know
yeah.
of its presence by saying hell. And then you recognize
mm-hmm.
what's going on. Because you'll do something stupid if you didn't. So the angels have to announce its arrival and its presence so that we don't get too bent out of shape and get crazy because we see some we'll be afraid of. But angels are not
mm-hmm.
visible except on special occasion. I don't really want to make this about the angels, but Luke 2:9, verse 11 also, they quoted by Satan. Now, if you remember over there in Matthew 4, I think around the 6th chapter, Satan had to show himself. And he wanted to talk to Jesus about the scripture. But the devil have no revelation on the scripture, brothers and sisters. He don't have no revelation. He don't know that.
Because
he don't only go by what folks can see, feel, touch, and hear. He don't have the revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus was, some people say he was doing battle. Jesus wasn't doing no battle. Jesus was being Jesus. He is the Word. He is
yeah.
the author and finisher of our faith. He had to do
yeah.
the devil, on the other hand, like a lot of them, want to show what he knows. That's what he want to do. He
mm-hmm.
want to show what he knows. But aren't you glad to know that if, well, to me, it's very comforting to know that God watches over us, even in times
yeah.
of great stress or fear. God is watching over us. And I wanted to put that out. And but there's so much more that I wanted to share because we have to understand a few things, brothers and sisters. And I won't name them all today, but let me say this. He says, he that, that can be a child. That can be male or female. It's an individual. It's a person. And that's the message. You got to know it's a person. And then I can give you some scriptures, too. But I want to point out that the dwelling in the, and boy, for some reason I couldn't get past that, dwelling in the. You got to dwell in Christ, man. Live in Christ. Dwell in the Word of God.
Amen.
When you talk about abiding, you're talking about dwelling. This is your dwelling. This is where you live at, in the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
That's why it's important that you don't just listen to any and everybody, because they won't keep the Word of God clean. Mm-hmm. They use the Word of God to promote their own agenda, for a better way of saying. They just won't say it because that's what God says. They want to make sure they try to put it in a box, try to prove to you something, some ideal they got. They want to prove to you that this is what the Word of God says. You don't have to do that. Then let the Word of God speak for itself. If God says he's going to hide you in a secret place, then you need to find where God's secret place is at. And then follow the scriptures, you'll see where his secret place is at.
Mm-hmm.
But people got all this religious stuff up in them. And I can't know where God's secret place. Tell me, well, if you get filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you'll know God's secret place. Well, I didn't read that like that.
Amen.
You'd have put all these stipulations on my life so I can find God's secret place. I got to do this and got to do this. God didn't say that. He told me to dwell in his secret place. So I just need to find what the secret place is. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Christ, okay? But anyway, just like I found out what that word means in the Greek, he that dwelleth in the secret places, I come to find out that's a covering. That's hiding place. And then I went and some scriptures on that. That's why they use the word shelter there in some of the other books. Or some of the other writers, or some of the other translation. That's what I want to say. Some of the other translation. But this explains the secret places of the Most High. See, there's a lot of secret places, but it don't have to be the secret place of the Most High. You know what? I think I'm gonna leave this long, because I tell you, the more I think about this, and it gets real good, brothers and sisters. I promise you, because there's four things I noticed in those, the secret places, and under the shadow. The Bible says there's a refuge, there's a porch, there's a place of protection, there's God's truth. It says that he's faithful, trust as a place. He said, when I dissect this thing, that's how I see this. It's a place of security. But it's a better place than to be in Christ. There's a lot of places out there, but they don't necessarily have to be God's secret place.
All right.
So that's where we have to go. But I'm going to leave it there, and if the Lord tell me, to pick it up, I will, because there's a lot of good stuff God tells us, and I am just so tired of people trying to make God out of this ugly God, out of this no-caring father, and you got sense enough to care about your child, but God ain't got sense enough to care about his. That is just ludicrous. That's stupid. That's ignorant. That's foolish. If you know how to give good gifts, your daddy do too. You know, sometimes we get this mindset, our parents don't know what we know. Guess what? They got the news for you, did.
Amen.
Because you don't see your parents doing some stuff you did. So you don't see your parents experiencing some things you did. So therefore, you're going to think, oh, my parents, they don't know this. They ain't did this. No, baby. Trust me. They know. Because they didn't tell you doesn't mean they don't know. They just didn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
That's old school stuff, too. Anyone have any comments, any questions, anything, press 1. I always try to leave room so we can highlight some of the stuff that we went over. Because, see, I get to thinking about God's blessing just in the scriptures alone. I think about the promises that's in God's, in Psalms 91. Hey, you'd be shocked to know there's 23 promises of God in Psalms 91. 23 of them.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, yes, if I get to talking about the conditions of the blessings that's in Psalms 91, there's some conditions here. It ain't going to just happen because you felt like it ought to happen. No, there's some conditions here. If you ain't going to stay under the shadow of the Almighty, don't expect these blessings to come. If you're not going to dwell in the secret places, don't expect the blessings to come. This is for the person, if I should say, the person that's willing, that's willing. See, a lot of times folks want the blessings without having that willing spirit. Let me stop. But there's a lot of people.
That's all right, Pastor.
They think they ought to. They want to do part of it, but not all of it. They want to go half of the way. That just like marriage. No, if the Word of God says submit to your own husband, you got to take that. You can't be running around here with Susie May telling me, oh, honey, I wouldn't take that. I mean, that was my husband. He'd have to do this. He'd have to do what the Word of God says. And if that was my wife,
Amen.
Guess what? She got to do what the Word of God say. If I got to do
Amen.
What the Word of God say, she's going to do what the Word of God say. And if she's not willing to do that, then you don't get the blessing. See, there's a blessing when two people are in the Lord and get hooked up together
Yeah.
in the Lord. But they got to be willing to obey the Word of God, not question God's word, not question
Amen.
It. Oh, well, he meant this.
Come on,
no,
now.
He meant just what he said. That's what he meant. He meant just what he said. He says, husband, love your wife. And matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
he said, let Christ be the example over there in Ephesians 5. Christ was willing to die for his church. So you got to be willing to die for your wife. Yeah.
All right. Amen.
So if a man ain't ready to do that, don't marry that sister. If you ain't ready to die for her,
Amen.
Don't marry her. You need to have somebody
yeah.
you're ready to die for. Yeah, I know this is not a marriage sermon. I just want you to tell you. I'm going to tell you this. Women, if you're not ready to submit to your own husband, don't marry that Jew. Not him. You need to find somebody you're willing
mm-hmm.
to submit to. Yeah.
Amen.
If you ain't ready
Amen.
To do it God's way, if you ain't ready to do it God's way, don't get married, period. The average preacher won't take you there, but I'm going to take you that. Because all
yeah.
you're doing is bringing habit and confusion and every that into a marriage, especially when you got to have children and you're going to bar children for that marriage, for that relationship. And even if you're bringing
mm-hmm.
a child into the relationship or into the marriage, that child needs to see Christ. Period.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I say that one more
Amen.
Time? A lot of times folks get married and they don't want, no, you need to make it a purpose in your heart that I'm married, he got children, I got children, she got children, he got children. Say, hey, first of all, we need to have a marriage that child is going to be able to see Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's uh-huh. real talk, people.
Amen.
I just counseled with some people and what that young man saw from his mama, he didn't like. Then he turned around and saw what he saw from the man she married. He turned gay.
Have mercy, Jesus.
And they trying to blame it on. No, they blame it. He blamed him right on what he saw. He didn't have anything else to go by.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's enough. Anybody have any comments, anything you want to share before we go? Anything.
Amen.
Anything
I'd like to read. What'd you say, Pastor?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, I like to read Hebrews 1:14 from the New Living Translation. It says, therefore, angels are only servants. Spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Amen, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Then reading Psalms 91, verses 1 through 6 from the Message Bible, it says, "You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in shadows. I'm not sure if I said that right, but the second verse says this: God, you're my refuge. I trust in you, and I'm safe. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you are perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, nor flying arrows in the day, not diseases that prowl through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon." Amen, amen. So we are protected, we are shielded, and I just thank God that we are under the shadow of the Almighty.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Pastor, you were sharing about the shelter and people, and you brought that out as well. I just want to piggyback on it. when they're in the shelter, like Pastor was sharing earlier, they don't have to want for anything. Those people provide everything that they need: transportation, clothes, food, whatever they need. That tour just keeps them from destruction, keeps them from getting out there and depending on the wrong person. So they go to the shelter, and that shelter just, you know, it's like it protects them. And so it's the same with our Heavenly Father. He protects us. And so we can go to him. So we don't have to fear. We can trust in him. And that's just truly a blessing when we come to the knowledge of that, to know that our Heavenly Father, not only does he watch over us, but he protects us. And so the same way with someone going into the shelter, from the street to the shelter, because you got so many people out here that will deceive you. And I'm reminded of long ago, this has been in my younger days, and this young man, he was going to talk to me, and then, you know, he came by, and he was talking to me. And then I didn't hear from him anymore till about years later I ran into him. And he told me, he said, you know why I didn't talk to you? And I thought to myself, well, you didn't because you didn't. You know, that was my mindset. He said, well, I didn't talk to you because I knew that God had his hand on you and how you was protected. And I looked at him because I wasn't in that mindset that I am today. Now I understand it, what he was saying. Then I didn't. I just took him at his word. I'm like, well, you know, to me, that was God's will. You weren't supposed to be with me anyway. You know, that's how I felt. But I didn't realize how deep that was until Pastor started teaching this lesson, and I thought, wow. So to share that with each and every one, no matter what we may face, God is with us, those who have surrendered their life to him. You know, like Pastor said, you got to be a believer. And even though at that time I wasn't strong in the Lord, God was beginning to deal with me. And that's when that young man told me that. And I thought, wow, now I see why. I was being protected.
That's awesome.
Like in the scripture says. Yeah. Amen. So I just wanted to share that with us. So don't be afraid. Just rest in the Lord. Trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And this lesson is so powerful. When you look back over your life and some incidents that may have happened, and then you come back to this lesson, I tell you, it just give you a new revelation of it. So thank you, Pastor.
Oh, thank you.
For God using you. Amen.
Yeah. To God be the glory, brother.